top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Wednesday, February 21st. In the headlines, concerned Citizens Movement President Washburn Coffee alleges that Dominica's political leadership is abusing power.
Wherever.
And he is concerned that the governance system could become a dictatorship. Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and Barbados engage in discussions on the advancement of preparations for the operations of the proposed CARICOM transport ferry service in their respective countries. And the United States again vetoed a draft UN Security Council resolution on the Israel-Hamas war and thereby blocked the call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Get the frames you love at Quartz Optical. Get 20% off single vision lenses and 25% off progressive lenses. Shop with no cash and pay absolutely nothing for 30 days. Book your eye examination appointment online today on www.quartzoptical.com. We've got the frames you love only at Quartz Optical. Value you can see. Offer ends February 29th, 2024. Conditions apply.
Concerned Citizens Movement President Washburn Coffee has spoken out against what he alleges as a pervasive abuse of power within the country's political leadership. Coffee appears to be concerned that this trend, if allowed to continue and take root, could develop into a dictatorial system.
The government, there is a total abuse of power by the political directorate and leadership. And that is unfortunate, but that is because the system, their system is a dictatorship system. Even within the political party operation of the Labour Party, it's a one-man show. No annual meetings, no accountability, no reports. One man selects everybody. He assumes who should be in whatever position and so on. No conventions. So this is their modus operandi, and that translates from the operation of the political party called the DLP, which more recently Matthew Walter referred to it as the New Scary Party. So we mustn't forget that. It's now the New Scary Party and really not the Dominica Labour Party.
Coffee alleges that the current administration's abuse to power extends beyond the public sector, raising concerns about the conduct and activities of key officials within the public service.
So we have seen that abuse of power, and that abuse of power has transcended the public service and has called into question the behavior and the actions of important functionaries in the public service, not excluding, of course, the office of the DPP, and as was mentioned earlier by the scribe as well, including the financial secretary. And of course, other public officers have found themselves in that kind of scenario, given that kind of trend that seemed to be permeating the public service at this point in time. The matter that, given this abuse of power, I'm suggesting to Dominicans, to the citizens, that they need to become more politically conscious.
And that was Concerned Citizens Movement President Washburn Coffee. President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, alleges that between July 1st, 2016 and July 31st, 2023, Dominica granted 40,273 citizenship, yielding a total revenue of $9.1 billion, Linton contends that out of the sum, $2.7 billion was directed to the country's treasury over the seven-year period. He expresses concerns that the remaining $6.4 billion is unaccounted for and is not being utilized for the welfare of the Dominican people.
Since 2016, 1st of July, until the 30th of June 2023, we sold 40,273 citizenships. 40,273 citizenships for a value of $9.1 billion, $9,100 million. And from that money, we have only gotten into the treasury for the 7 year period $2.7 billion, which leaves $6.4 billion of the people's passport money out there under somebody else's control, unlawfully, unconstitutionally. And the government will do nothing about it. I do not think there is anywhere else in the civilized world where an injustice of this nature has been perpetrated against people. And part of the reason that this injustice is so egregious is because we seek answers to what is going on and we will not get the answers.
Linton emphasized that despite claims of economic development by those withholding the funds, the reality in Dominica suggests otherwise. He denounced these assertions as false, highlighting the disparity in the country's economic situation during the pandemic compared to other Caribbean countries.
This country, which we are told by those who are depriving us of all of these funds and have it being used for other things, they're telling us things are wonderful in Dominica. We've never had it so good, notwithstanding the fact that I told you how different things were for us in COVID compared to the citizens of the other countries in the region. And we are still the country, notwithstanding all of these resources available to us, we're still the smallest and the slowest growing economy in the OECS. We are the country least able to employ our young people. We are the country least able to provide good paying jobs for our people. And the Economic Commission of Latin America and the Caribbean for 2024 is reporting that in terms of economic growth, we will be the smallest economy, we will be last again with 3.3% growth. St. Kitts will be 3.9%. St. Lucia will be 4%. St. Grenada will be 5.8%. St. Vincent the Grenadines will be 5.9%. And Antigua and Barbuda will be 8.5%. Antigua and Barbuda's economy is already a $5.2 billion economy. It is three times the size of the Dominica economy. Yet it will grow by 8.5%, with less than $200 million being spent on public sector investment projects in Antigua in 2024.
President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, Dominica's ambassador to China, Mr. Martin Charles, revealed in an interview with state-owned radio earlier this week that Dominica and China are preparing to acknowledge and commemorate the upcoming 20th anniversary of their diplomatic relations. He mentioned that a prominent delegation will be dispatched to China to mark this occasion, and celebrations are scheduled to take place in both Beijing and Dominica.
In a very big and unique way, it's the 20th anniversary of diplomatic relations. As you know, in 2004, Prime Minister Skerrid, who was the youngest prime minister in the world at the time, established diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China. And we've seen the tremendous benefits that Dominica and China have gotten from this relationship. It's a relationship that is based on mutual trust, respect for each other's territory, non-interference in each other's territory, in a win-win cooperation, which engenders people-to-people exchanges. And so there will be celebrations in observance of this 20th anniversary both in Beijing and in Dominica. It's expected that a high-level delegation will be visiting China in observance of this celebration.
Mr. Charles further remarked that Dominica can anticipate significant developments and achievements from China in acknowledgement of the 20th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the two countries.
I can only say that Dominica will see bigger and greater things coming from China in recognition of our 20th anniversary. And so I look forward to welcoming this delegation to China so that there can be interactions with the Chinese authorities, the local business people in China, and to see how we can take our relationship to a different level, because we believe after 20 years, it's time to augment the relationship between China and Dominica. And so, as I said, I'm very optimistic that Dominicans will see a lot from China.
And that was Martin Charles, the ambassador of Dominica to China. Edona John Baptist, communication specialist at the Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC, provided an overview of the IRC's role as the regulator of Dominica's electricity sector, overseeing the supply and transmission of electricity. She highlighted that one of the commission's key responsibilities is granting licenses to operators, with Domlec being the sole electricity operator on the island. Additionally, John Baptist mentioned that the commission will conduct a public consultation on the electricity rate review and Domlec's depreciation rate study on Thursday.
So the IRC is the regulator of the electricity sector in Dominica, and what that means is that it monitors the supply and transmission of electricity, and part of its responsibility is to grant Domlec's licenses to operate, Domlec being our sole electricity operator. And IRC has the legal authority to do so, to perform its duties by way of the Electricity Supply Act of 2006. So what we do, part of our functions, is that we set guidelines. The commission set guidelines for the electricity sector. It reviews and approves electricity rates, as I mentioned. It also supports government's national policy on electricity supply. It provides a forum for customer appeals and complaints, and it also works with other agencies, like, for example, the Agios Forces Development, the Clinton Foundation Initiative to really promote and protect sustainable environment, a sustainable environment in our electricity sector.
John Baptist emphasized that transparency is a fundamental value of the commission, highlighting that it is a key aspect of effective regulation, which is essential for ensuring accountability and fairness in the sector.
I think one of the commission's core values is transparency, and generally that is one of the core capacities of a regulator. A regulator has to be transparent, independent, and the Electricity Supply Act actually speaks to the IRC's independence. Now, as it relates to the transparency of the IRC, that is why we're going to consultation with the review of electricity rates for Domlec. So we must seek stakeholder feedback before the commission makes any determination or decision in terms of the final approval for electricity rates. So this is all part of the transparency. Now, the commission's mission is to ensure that consumers in Dominica receive the highest quality of electricity at fair and reasonable rate, while also maintaining the financial viability of the electric utility company, that is Domlec, and protecting the national environment.
Edona John Baptist, the communication specialist at the Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC. In other news, a recent meeting among representatives from Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and Barbados discussed the progress towards preparing each country for the operationalization of the proposed CARICOM transport per ferry service. According to a press release from the Ministry of Public Works, the meeting took place in Trinidad on February 15th. During this session, the representatives acknowledged the need for several systems to be established and agreed that these systems should be in place within 2 months. Among those attending the meeting were Minister within the Ministry of Public Works, Diota Inda, Trinidad's Minister of Works and Transport, Rohan Sinadan, and Barbados Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Ian Gooden-Edhill, Dr. Pauline Yearwood, Deputy Program Manager at the CARICOM Secretariat, and other senior regional officials in various relevant areas. Each country provided updates on their progress towards making the system operational, including discussions on establishing a company to oversee operations. This company would include directors from each country to facilitate the operations. The ferry service is seen as a crucial step for addressing challenges in transporting agricultural goods and facilitating intra-regional transport. Regional heads of government are determined to achieve a 25% reduction in the regional food bill by 2025. And the United States once again vetoed a draft United Nations Security Council resolution on the Israel-Hamas conflict, blocking a call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. Instead, the U.S. is urging the Council to demand a temporary ceasefire linked to the release of hostages held by Hamas. 13 Council members supported the Algerian-drafted resolution, with Britain abstaining.
A draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza was vetoed by the United States on Tuesday.
Those against?
It was the third such veto since the start of the Israel-Hamas war.
Abstentions?
Britain abstained, while the 13 other council members all voted in favor of the drafted text.
Proceeding with a vote today was wishful and irresponsible.
U.S. Ambassador to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield told the 15-member body that the draft resolution could jeopardize ongoing ceasefire talks between the U.S., Egypt, Israel, and Qatar.
We believe that the resolution on the table right now would, in fact, negatively impact those negotiations. Demanding an immediate, unconditional ceasefire without an agreement requiring Hamas to release the hostages will not bring about a durable peace. Instead, it could extend the fighting between Hamas and Israel.
According to text seen by Reuters, the U.S. has proposed a rival draft resolution calling for a temporary ceasefire, quote, as soon as practicable and on the condition that all hostages are released. The blocked draft resolution, which was drawn up by Algeria, did not link a ceasefire to the release of hostages. Here's Algeria's UN ambassador.
Voting against it implies an endorsement of the brutal violence.
Israel's UN ambassador said the word ceasefire was being mentioned as if it was, quote, a magical solution.
What exactly will this silver bullet ceasefire achieve? A ceasefire achieves one thing and one thing only, the survival of Hamas.
Palestine's UN ambassador said blocking the Algerian drafted resolution would mean more horrors in a war that health authorities in Gaza say has killed nearly 29,000 Palestinians.
That's the media news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Washburn Coffey alleges that Dominica's political leadership is abusing power, and he is concerned that the governance system could become a dictatorship. 95DA.com. Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and Barbados engaged in discussions on the advancement of preparations for the operations of the proposed CARICOM Transport Ferry Service in their respective countries. And the United States again vetoed a draft UN Security Council resolution on the Israel-Hamas war and thereby blocked the call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Ferdinand Valmond.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global.